That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you once again a bit later in the week to recap the brutal loss to the 49ers C team. Before we get into everything, we got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, you can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. I think we're on Amazon. I'm not sure. I have to check. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Say something nice about us. Weiss, it's been quite a week. We had to endure the Giants lose. I can't even say losing to the 49ers. I mean, getting embarrassed by the 49ers, followed up by the presidential debates, and now back to the Giants. I don't know where you want to start. I think, you know, we were very, very close to turning this into the Dave Gettleman top 10 worst decisions countdown list, because they all seem to just culminate on Sunday, really over the first 3 weeks of the season. I think to start, we're just going to get into the 49ers game itself. But one thing I do want to bring up before we get into it, there's been some chatter going around, and I think that we need to take this upon ourselves to make this hashtag a bit more mainstream. It has been brought up by, I think, our boys, WGB and Mr. Ricker. Hashtag countdown to Cape Cod.
Wow.
I think we have to roll with that, and we have to make it a thing. So for all those listening out there, let's do it. When the Giants inevitably get blown out on Sunday at the Rams, because you know it's going to be a disaster. Hashtag countdown to Cape Cod. We're going to get it trending. All right. That being said, Weiss, I'll throw it to you first. Let's get into the 49ers game. An absolute debacle on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, it was pretty embarrassing. I think embarrassing is the right way to put it. It just proves that the Giants are not close. It just proves that, you know, despite the fact that the 49ers were missing their starting quarterback, their starting running back, their one of their starting receivers, their best offensive player in George Kittle, the reigning defensive player of the year, Nick Bosa, Dee Ford, another good pass rusher, Richard Sherman, all pro corner, about half the team starters were not playing for the 49ers, and the Giants didn't look like they belonged on the same field as
yeah,
them.
I mean, this is a tweet from Dove Kleinman. 49ers were missing QB1, RB1, RB2, tight end 1, tight end 2, wide receiver 1, cornerbacks 1, 2, and 4, defensive ends 1, 3, 4, and 5, linebacker 2, wide receivers 4 and 5, and center 1.
Yeah. Pretty much, they were missing about 10 starters. Every team has 22 starters, 11 on offense, 11 on defense. The 49ers are missing 10 of their 22 starters. And the Giants couldn't score points. And they couldn't stop the 49ers. Nick Mullins, believe threw for over 300 yards. The 49ers had 5 receivers have over 20 yards receiving, which hasn't been done since, I think it was 10 years ago. I have to go back and look. Hasn't been done recently. This is an indictment on the Giants personnel. This shows that, you know, even though the 49ers are missing all those players, the Giants still didn't belong on the field with them. And that's the alarming part about all this, is the fact that in a year that we came into, we didn't expect the Giants to compete for the NFC East. We didn't expect them to be a playoff team, even though there's, you know, an extra playoff spot this year. But we expected them to be respectful, be a team that competes. Bad, but not embarrassing, as we said last week.
Whoops.
That was not it. And now you look at their schedule. I mean, there's a good chance the Giants might have to wait until either end of November to get their first win. If they don't get it, you know, with Washington in a couple weeks.
I think that's the problem, because you really don't know which Washington team is going to show up. You're going to get that dominant front seven and a Dwayne Haskins that's pissed off that the Giants skipped over him for Dan Jones, or you're going to get the Dwayne Haskins that gets rattled in the pocket, throwing balls away, throwing interceptions. It's really a toss-up.
Or what happens if you get Alex Smith? There's already talks of Dwayne Haskins benched in Washington. So what happens if Alex Smith comes in after missing, I don't know, he's been out of football for, what, more than a year? Call it, what, 18 months or whatever? And he comes in, and he lights up the Giants' defense. All of this is very alarming. When you look at this roster, it's clear that they aren't as good as we thought they were, and we didn't think they were going to be that good. Their players still have – the young players are still going through struggles, have not developed, have not taken the next step. Because you see, when we came into the season, right, we talked about the development of the young players. That's what this season was about. We are now 3 weeks into it, and after Sunday, a quarter of the season is finished. Can you tell me one young player that Dave Gettleman has drafted from 2018, 19, and 20? We'll leave 20 aside, just 18 and 19. That has shown that, you know what, this is a guy I want to give a contract extension to.
No. No, and the only and that there's the distinction, right? It's who has he drafted that you can see developing into a full-time starter, someone that you need on the field at all times. And really, the only one that I can think of, and he's really not even someone that's become an alpha or an everyday starter, someone who has just been noticeably decent to start the season, it's probably Lorenzo Carter.
But even with Lorenzo Carter, yes, he was good in his
first. But that's my point. There is no one that you're like, wow, this is a necessary core piece of the franchise moving forward.
Right. Like I like to use the word cornerstone player. And how I define a cornerstone player is a guy that is, he is a guy that you're going to lock up. He's on his rookie contract and you're going to lock him up to a long-term deal, right? Can you find me one guy right now that is a cornerstone player on this team?
Nope. We thought it was Will Hernandez. It is not Will Hernandez.
Lorenzo Carter certainly hasn't earned that title yet.
Nope.
Dexter Lawrence is the only guy I can really think of as a guy that I think that's somebody that I want to keep. But the problem is he plays a position that doesn't bring a lot of value.
Correct.
Or it's not, you know, it's not a position that impacts the game as much as some other positions do. You know, still a good player, still definitely a player that I think not only can develop into a Pro Bowl caliber, but I think Dexter Lawrence can be an all-pro interior defensive lineman. I really do. He's a really good player. But other than that, you're seeing it in the results. And then when you start looking at individual players' performances, I mean, it's showing why this team is still sort of stuck. And we talk about this, right? Like, are the Giants headed in the right direction? They're not headed in the wrong direction like they were in 2018, when the offseason that they had in 2018. They're not headed in the wrong direction, but that doesn't mean that they're headed in the right direction.
They are directions.
It's almost, they're almost like they're stuck. You know, they don't know how to put themselves back on the right track. And that's a problem. And that's why I think the sort of the talk of Dave Gettleman losing his job is the noise is getting louder, because we're 3 weeks into it And it just seems like this is a continuation of what we saw the last 2 years.
Is there a part of you that, how do I say this tastefully, is at least, we're not happy that the Giants are bad.
No.
But in a messed up way, satisfied that we've been right since 2018?
I don't really get a satisfaction in being right, you know, unless I, like, if I say my team is going to win the Super Bowl and they go win the Super Bowl, I'm like, yeah, I said they were going to win and they win. I don't get satisfaction in that. I know there was a lot of people that came at me when, you know, I said that this team wasn't good enough, or when I said that I don't have faith in this GM, and a lot of people came at me and said stuff to me, and that's fine. You know, I'm okay with that. I am a person that reads my mentions. I just don't respond a lot. And typically it's a lot of the same nonsense that I see. It's typically the same. But for me, it's that I want it to be proven wrong. There's no
100%.
Nothing more that I wanted to do than to come on here and say, you know what? The 49ers are missing all those players, but the Giants did their job. They went in there and they took advantage of a team that's shorthanded, and they got a win. You know, and you look at the state of the NFC East, and we've seen a lot of crazy things happen in the NFL. And you know what? If they string together some wins, and if they get to November, December competing, anything can happen. There's nothing. I actually, when I woke up in the morning
today,
and I brushed my teeth, I went downstairs, I was having breakfast, I was looking at the schedule, and I was saying to myself, okay, I know Dallas is going to lose in Seattle. I have no faith. I know for a fact Seattle is going to tear them apart. You know, Joe Burrow has been playing really well the first 2 weeks of the season. And if I am the Philadelphia Eagles, I don't take that team lightly. And I was like, Cleveland's going to take care of Washington. So if the Giants get this win through the first 3 weeks, they're right in it, right? They're not behind, you know, and it's still early. But, hey, if I were to tell you, through the first 3 weeks of the season, you got the same record as the Cowboys, the Eagles, and the Redskins, or the Cowboys and the Cowboys and the Eagles and the Redskins. Would you sign up for that? And everyone would say yes, right? But man, was I wrong. This team is bad. And what makes it worse? What makes this worse is because the division is really bad. And with the bad division, despite playing in a bad division, the Giants are still going to be going into November, December, and now October, and playing meaningless football games. And that just shows how far away they are from competing for anything.
Yep. and that's what makes 2018 the absolute worst. It's that you just look at how bad this division is, and had they decided to actually rebuild in 2018, we are likely talking about how the Giants are atop their division right now.
The things change so fast in the NFL. I mean,
you can rebuild very, very quickly if you do it the right way.
Look at Arizona.
Yeah.
Just take a look at Arizona. Where were they 2 years ago? In the same position as the Giants, right? Yep. Basically. They were actually worse because they had taken a quarterback a year before, right? And then had a one-and-done head coach. And following that, they fired their coach. They brought in Cliff Kingsbury. Their roster was really bad. And what do? In 2 years, look where they are. Things change fast in the NFL, you know?
If you do them the right way.
Right. And the Giants just, they are a...
Few teams have taken advantage of their quarterback's rookie contract in the last couple of years as the Arizona Cardinals.
Look at how bad Dave Gettleman has been as the Giants general manager, right? This is his third season, right? And under his watch, the Giants have the most losses, are tied with the most losses amongst all NFL teams. The only team that they have a better quote unquote record as, they have the same amount of losses, but they have one win, and the Bengals have one tie, is the Cincinnati Bengals, right? But if you go and take Jerry Reese's worst 3 years, right, which was 2014, 6-10, 2015, 6-10, and then the 2017 debacle when they went 3-13, right? Jerry Reese got 15 wins in those 3 years. For Dave Gettleman to match Jerry Reese's three worst combined years, the Giants would need to win 6 games, which they haven't done under Dave Gettleman's watch. Think about that for a second. Jerry Reese, worst 3 years, he won 15 games combined in those 3 years. Under Dave Gettleman, the Giants have won 9 games so far since the start of 2018. For them to match Jerry Reese's worst 3 years, Dave Gettleman
would need 6 wins.
Giants 6 wins. And that would be the most that the Giants have ever won under Dave Gettleman. Are they going to win 6 games this
Absolutely
year?
Absolutely not. I mean, they're going to start 0-5.
Yes.
And then there's the toss-up. Then there's
the Redskins.
You don't know which team's going to show up. Prime time at the link. Disaster. Doesn't even matter who's starting, really, for the Eagles. Because if it's Carson Wentz, he's going to use it as a get-right game. If it's Jalen Hurts, you know it's just going to be a breakout. And they're going to get destroyed by Tom Brady. And then Washington again for a toss-up.
Hey, listen, when it comes to the Eagles in primetime, I'm old enough to remember when Vince Young came into MetLife on a Sunday night and beat the Giants. Okay? So I remember 2011 very, very easily. The Giants in primetime against the Eagles is...
It's nightmare fuel.
It is. It is.
Oy, all right. Where to next?
I mean, where do you go from here? Like, if you're the Giants, right, you're 0-3. You're going to probably most likely be 0-4. 0-5, really. I mean, do you just start throwing a lot of these young players out there and just seeing what sticks?
I think you have to. Like, I mean, the thing with the rest of the season, it's tough because for the fans, you know it's a lost season.
Mara should be thinking the fact that there's no fans allowed into the stadium. I think if they even allow a limited amount of fans, Giant fans still won't go. It's bad.
I would agree. Here's my question to you.
Yes.
How many wins do you think the first overall pick in this draft has?
I think that the number one overall pick, or excuse me, the team that has the number one overall pick is not going to have more than 2 wins. I think right now, legitimately, I think it's the Jets and the Giants, right? And I think that the Jets are going to win tomorrow against the Broncos.
I actually agree. How about that?
And then you look at the rest of their schedule, you know, they got the Cardinals, the Chargers, Bills, Chiefs, Patriots. I could see them getting another win against the Dolphins, and that'll put it at 2.
My problem is it's Adam Gase, and I legitimately think that if they were to fire him, they could probably win 3 games just off of that jolt alone.
I was just about to say that. I don't think Adam Gase is going to finish the season as the
nor should he.
Coach. Yeah, I think he's going to be the first head coach fired.
Honestly, probably one of my worst takes of all time, thinking that he would be a good head coach for them.
Well, everyone listened to Peyton Manning.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, I think so. The Jets are at, let's say the Jets get 2 wins. Well, then you're looking at the Giants, right? And the Giants schedule, we know it gets really hard because...
I mean, I think the Giants have 3 wins max.
I think...
Max.
Here's what I think, right? Here's what I'll say, right, about the Giants. Unless they drastically improve, because we just saw that even if a team is missing half their starters, it's still not a guarantee for the Giants to win that game.
Right.
Looking at the thing, I think they'll win one of their 2 against Washington. And then the only 2 games where I'm like, okay, they could probably get one of those 2 is at the Bengals or home against the Browns.
I think the Browns blow them out.
I'm just throwing it out there. Like, if you were to tell me, give me your top 3, you know, teams,
sure,
think the Giants can...
Then I would agree with you. But I still see maybe one win.
Right now, I say
at the Bengals, that game is probably a pick 'em.
Well, here's the thing, right? This is the scary part about it is they're going to lose their next two, right? Most likely, they're going to lose at the Rams.
Definitely
going to
lose
Cowboys.
Their next two.
They're 0-5. If they don't beat Washington at home on October 18th, there is a very good chance, because if they can't beat them at home, I'm not gonna expect them to beat them on the road, right? So if you don't beat them on the 18th, there's a good chance the next time the Giants have a legitimate shot at winning a game will be November 29th when they're at the Bengals. I know people are going to talk about the Eagles. Again, the Giants, until they prove to me that they can beat the Eagles, I'm always going to expect them to lose those two games.
Yep.
And you can factor in the Cowboys too, because the last time the Giants beat the Cowboys or the Eagles was 2016.
Bro, I think the more that we talk about this and the more that I look at the schedule, I don't see a win.
I'm saying if you don't beat
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I'm saying I don't think they beat the Bengals.
I'm going to take you one step further, okay? If you don't beat Washington in one of those two games and you don't beat the Bengals, there is a good chance
the
New York Giants can go 0-16. There's a very good chance of that happening. Actually, I would call it likely.
I'm like speechless right now. If that's the case, it's Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. Can I just say,
if the Giants something to have say the about number it one too. Pick,
if the Giants have the number one pick in the 2020 draft, they're going to draft Trevor Lawrence.
And here's the thing, and it needs to be said. We are not rooting for Dan Jones to fail, because it would be way more beneficial if he was good. Because if he was good, the Giants wouldn't need to spend number one overall on a quarterback. They could trade the pick.
If he is your franchise quarterback, do you know how much value that number one pick will bring you?
Like,
it'll be
RG3 type return.
More.
Probably more.
This is the best college prospect. And when we say college prospect, we don't mean guy that is, you know, great in the NFL. We're talking about coming out of college.
Right.
The best prospect since Luck. And before Luck, it was Peyton. And before Peyton, it was John Elway.
And that's the thing. For the stage the Giants are at in the rebuild, if you look at it in a vacuum, Dan Jones coming out of college, showing, at this point, very minimal improvement, versus right. Trevor Lawrence coming out of college and what he's been doing with Clemson against actual tough opponents. It's like, if you had given Giants fans this choice during the Dan Jones draft, do you want Dan Jones or do you want Trevor Lawrence? 99% Trevor Lawrence.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Not, it's not even close.
And the thing is that it's not if the Giants have the number two pick or the number three pick.
It's if they
have
number
one.
They would have
the number one pick. They would have to have the number one pick in order for them to draft Trevor Lawrence.
And if that's the case, Gettleman's out of here. And I'm sorry, Judge, out of here. Garrett, out of here. Everyone, fired.
We got to talk about Jason Garrett.
We do.
We never recorded when he was hired, but I was never like, oh my God, great hire.
I was very against it, and everyone was telling me to calm the fuck down because, oh, he's just going to be the offensive coordinator. He's not going to be the head coach. Okay, guys.
He is. It's 3 weeks, and I know they don't have a lot of talent, but man, he is. He sort of reminds me a little of Bill Sheridan.
I know you tweeted that.
Yeah, like this is shaping out to be a Bill Sheridan type thing. He's bad, man. He's really bad. Very predictable.
There's no motion. He thinks he's got the Cowboys offensive line of 2 years ago.
Yeah. And he's mismanaging a lot of these players. Like I said, Evan Ingram blocking. That's not who he is, you know? But I have a question for you. So the trade deadline is, I don't know, after week like 8, right? And obviously this is shaping out to be another lost season. They're not going to play meaningful games in December. Is there anybody on this team that you could get anything for?
No. No, there's not.
The only person I can think of is possibly you could try to sell, because the Seahawks are competing for a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been looking for some interior line help and pass rushers. Maybe you can try to, if you don't have any, if you don't plan on re-signing Dalvin Tomlinson, I would. I think he's very good, even though he plays, obviously, the interior defensive line. But maybe you could shop Dalvin Tomlinson. Maybe he could bring you a fifth or a fourth. I don't know what his value would be. Again, he plays the interior defensive line. Maybe you could try to sell Marcus Golden on the Seahawks and say, hey,
a conditional seventh?
I mean, a conditional seventh or a sixth. I mean, listen, he's a pass rusher. He did have 8.5 sacks.
I never understood Giants fans' like obsession with bringing him back this offseason.
It was
Mr. Coverage Sacks.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like he doesn't have a place on this team.
I mean, there's a number of guys you could ship out. It's just what you're going to get for him.
Well, he had 10 sacks last year. Maybe you can sell Marcus Golden and say, hey, Seattle, this is the best you can get. You know, you're trying to win a Super Bowl this year. Throw us a sixth or throw us, you know, a seventh, whatever. You know, maybe you could do something like that. But and offensively, I mean, what value does Evan Engram have?
Not much. I mean, hey, you never know. Maybe someone sees some potential in him. They're like, all right, we'll give you a sixth for him.
Or a fifth. Or a fourth. I don't know.
Not happening, but yeah.
What is his value? So for a team in the position that they are with the lack of talent that they have. Oh, man. It's going to be rough. It's going to be a rough season. It's going to get... I'm just shaking my head, man.
We're staring 0-16 in the face. All right. So I tweeted out earlier that I had a take quake for the pod. I'm admitting this up front. I don't think that this is anything in the realm of possibility. I'm just throwing it out there. Okay. There's a team that just spent a first-round pick on a quarterback. This team's doing very well. They're averaging 41 points per game and are now considered a legitimate Super Bowl contender after week 3. Do you know who I'm referring to?
The Green Bay Packers.
The Green Bay Packers.
How can you sleep on Aaron Rodgers?
It wasn't so much people sleeping on Aaron Rodgers as I think it was people believing that the Packers were trying to force him out by spending their first two picks on a quarterback and a running back that wouldn't make an impact right away for a guy who is what, 35 now, and very obviously in win now mode. Aaron Rodgers is admittedly a weird dude. We have heard numerous times about his relationships, both romantic and with his family. His hatred for some of his coaches and his general managers and teammates, whatever.
Deservedly so, I think.
But regardless,
I got you.
I think, in my eyes, take Super Bowls out of it, just raw quarterback talent. I think over the course of the last 10 or 15 years, there may be two quarterbacks that I think I would have rather had on my team than Aaron Rodgers. And those two are Mahomes today and probably Russell Wilson.
I would take Rodgers over Russell Wilson.
Can
I say something? I say something? I think Aaron Rodgers... See, I judge quarterbacks a lot differently than everyone else judges quarterbacks or the large majority of the public. I don't just look at rings as the deciding factor.
Right, me neither.
You look at the talent. You look at what he had around him. I think Patrick Mahomes, when it's all said and done, will be the undisputed greatest player of all time.
Yep.
Right? I mean, the way he's played and the trajectory that his career is headed toward, this is the next great quarterback, the next greatest quarterback of all time.
Yep.
But right now, to me, Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers are the two greatest quarterbacks I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah.
From a pure talent perspective,
yep.
They do things on the field that I have never seen before.
Yes.
And I'm not taking anything away from Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady's great. Six Super Bowls. But on the pedestal of the Patriots dynasty, I put Belichick ahead of Tom Brady.
Oh, absolutely. But anyway.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. I have no idea where you're going with this. Okay. I'm so anxious.
I'll try to get to the point. I don't think that a team with a quarterback in win now mode takes a quarterback and running back in the draft unless they are eyeing a rebuild in the very near future. Now, Aaron Rodgers, I believe, is signed until 2022, 2023 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Everyone thought that they were going to, you know, just run the ball too much. They were going to neuter him a little bit. This man is playing out of his fucking mind right now. If the Packers win the Super Bowl, could that be an opportunity for Aaron Rodgers to leave the Packers high and dry at his peak, winning a Super Bowl and saying, you know what? I just won you the Super Bowl. And you know what? I did it without your help because you spent the first two picks of this last draft on players that weren't going to help me do what I just did. And now I'm disgruntled. I'm pissed off. I want to show you how much you're going to miss me. I want to trade. So Aaron Rodgers wants out. I looked around the league. I think that there are really only four teams that would make sense for Rodgers. Because believe it or not, and I know it's tough to believe watching New York football with Darnold and Jones right now, but there are a lot of at least half-decent quarterbacks in the league right now. This is not the quarterback situation of, you know, 7 or 8 years ago. There are some decent guys out there. The teams that I came up with, the Patriots, if they decide to move on from Cam Newton after his one-year deal.
That'll be a match made in heaven.
Best coach of all time with one of the best quarterbacks of all time in New England with a vacancy. It's perfect. Belichick never shy about trading his draft picks. The Raiders. A team that's probably a year away, and if they decide that Carr is not the answer, I could see him being like, you know what? Let's team up with Gruden in Vegas. The other two, the Jets or the Giants. Because, and hear me out, if these teams are going to be picking top three, they're going to have draft capital to spend, especially if they want to move on from their respective quarterbacks. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but just saying, if the Packers want to go full rebuild and these two teams are holding very valuable draft capital, don't rule it out.
I think you're also missing two teams off the top of my head.
Okay.
The Washington Redskins.
Okay.
The Chicago Bears, although I don't think
with Foles, that's why I ruled them out.
But I think they'll be like, if you're like, let's say the Packers win the Super Bowl and Rodgers is like, look, I'm out. You know, this is it for me in Green Bay. I'm leaving, right? Or even if they don't win the Super Bowl, let's just say after this year, he's like, I'm done. Like, I brought you as far as I could. You know, I'm trying to win a championship. You know, why would he come to the Giants or the Jets? Wouldn't he want to go to a place that will?
It would depend on who is then in charge, because it's not going to be Dave Gettleman. And if it's not Dave Gettleman, it's probably not going to be Joe Judge.
I mean, right off the bat, I think Indianapolis would be a team that would
they also make sense.
Aaron Rodgers. I know this is crazy, but I think Denver with John Elway.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at all those weapons he drafted.
I know, but I think that they're going to ride with Locke. I mean, we'll see how Locke does this year.
But this is Aaron Rodgers. Like, I was having this conversation with somebody. I'm like, name me the teams, right?
This is truly like like the Russell Wilson situation.
Well, here's the thing. Name me the teams right now, and this is sort of along the lines of what we're talking about here, but name me the teams right now that if they got the number one pick would not take Trevor Lawrence. Like, you're 100% sure this team is not taking Trevor Lawrence. Seattle. The Chiefs. Baltimore. Houston. And I think that's it. Those are the only four teams.
It's a small list.
You know, so with Aaron Rodgers, I think there's a lot of teams right now, like Carolina. Hey, I'm Aaron Rodgers, you know. I'm interested in coming to Carolina. I like the squad you have. Teddy Bridgewater will be on the first flight out of there. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, I think a lot of things would change with teams and their quarterback situation if Aaron Rodgers, even at 37, becomes available, especially if he comes off a Super Bowl win. I mean, we just saw what happened with Tom Brady.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Aaron Rodgers, age 37, coming off, even if he doesn't win the Super Bowl, coming off a year where he's an MVP candidate. Oh, man. A lot of teams would change their entire draft strategy.
I'm glad you didn't shoot the idea down right away.
No, listen. I mean, listen, who would not want Aaron Rodgers, especially given the scenario that you just played out? But here's the thing. Why would Rodgers choose the Giants?
Wouldn't he want to go to a team? It would depend on who they brought in.
I mean, even if they bring in somebody, let's say they bring in a new GM, I think Rodgers would be looking at the team. He would look at, okay, what do you have? You know, first and foremost, do you have an offensive line? Second, no. What is your defense like? You know, third, who's the coach? I think the coach is going to be very important. I think Rodgers would definitely be looking at who the coach is. Now, I'm not saying that he wouldn't, hypothetically speaking, buy into Joe Judge.
He wouldn't.
But I'm saying, like, I don't think he would shoot that down. But again, I just don't think that the Giants would be.
This is my problem with – okay.
Okay.
Joe Judge has proven absolutely nothing. I didn't hate the hire. Right. I'm willing to see what plays out with his first year and maybe beyond. But this attachment that the fan base has to him is asinine. If this team goes 0-16 or 1-15 and a new GM comes in, see ya, dude. I don't give a shit. You haven't proved anything.
Yeah, I think 0-16, I mean, everything's on the table, including, I mean, I don't know what would happen if they go 0-16. That would just be, I mean, everything would be on the table. But the thing with Joe Judge is you can't – so the Giants' last two coaches, McAdoo and Pat Shurmur – well, McAdoo wasn't even given two full seasons, and Pat Shurmur was gone after two full seasons. It sets a bad precedent when you are firing coaches this quickly. It makes your job less desirable. And the one thing you and I know is that the Giants' job is not as desirable as people make it out to be. And if you just fire, you're coming off two coaches that you fired, you know, after 2 years, and then you fire a coach after a year, I mean, how many candidates would then look at you and say, because remember, in the NFL, rarely do coaches get two tries at it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So if you're a guy who has been waiting out the right opportunity, would you really trust a giant team with ownership that has fired three coaches in 5 years or six
Probably
years?
Probably not.
Right. So I'm not saying Joe Judge is, you know, this going to turn out to be the right coach or the right hire. There's just a lot that we still don't know about who he is. But I just don't think firing a coach after 1 year is the right move, especially the talent he was given. But 0-16, 1-15, I mean, that's a different story.
End of the day, I'm not going to shed a tear if a new GM comes in and says he wants his own guy.
I won't, but I would definitely worry, like, okay, is this going, how is this impacting, you know, the overall desire for coaches to take the Giants job. Like, are we going to have to go bargain hunting again for our next head coach and be in the same place in 2 years or 3 years?
Maybe. I mean, then you're repeating a chain, right? You fire Tom Coughlin, you keep Jerry Reese, who hires Ben McAdoo, who Jerry Reese gets fired, bring in Dave Gettleman, who brings in Shermer. You get rid of Shermer, but you keep Gettleman, who hires Joe Judge. Gettleman gets fired, and around we go.
I really think if the Giants get the right general manager in here, I mean, this is probably stating the obvious, but if they get the right general manager, things will get better a lot quicker.
I mean, yeah.
And I think that if and when Gettleman gets fired, I think they're going to try to link Judge with somebody that he has familiarity with. And I think that's the right decision.
Perhaps. I mean, I wouldn't hate it if they, you know, had a coach that was essentially helping him or helping John Mara pick the GM. You know, that's not an uncommon thing in today's NFL.
That's actually the most successful route if you think about it.
Hire a guy who's willing to bring in players that fit your philosophy.
Yeah, having a GM and a head coach that are tied together, have experience working together. That's usually the route teams go nowadays.
Yep. All right, should we get into some questions?
That was a take, man. That was a take.
That was a take quick.
Yeah, it was. That was my room shook a little bit.
And we'll read the seismic, whatever that meter is called. All right, we'll do some questions. We'll start with our good buddy Will. Rank how much the New York Giants miss these guys on IR. Sterling Shepard, Xavier McKinney, Saquon Barkley. Hell, let's throw in Nate Solder too. I know my answer.
I mean, to me, it's Saquon.
To me, it's McKinney.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't even say that because I haven't seen McKinney play.
I think that's the sad part. Because you know it's not Shep. You know it's not Solder. And even with Saquon in, they can't run the ball because the offensive line is so terrible. So you tell me, a highly regarded safety would greatly help this secondary right now.
Yeah, but still, I think with Saquon, I mean, he has last 2 years, 1,000 yards, close to 10 touchdowns. It's a big loss. He's your best offensive player. Like, they've designed their whole offense around Saquon Barkley.
Another mistake. But I'm going McKinney with my answer.
I'm going to go with Saquon.
Let's do this. This is from Morgan. What can be done in the short term to fix the offensive line woes? Is there a center in free agency they could bring in? Also, why have they not looked into Earl Thomas, considering how bad the safety position is for us? All right. Short-term fix for the offensive line. I mean, there is none. If you have good pieces for your offensive line, very rarely do teams just let those go.
Right. Very rarely are good offensive linemen free agents in October or in September.
As far as free agent centers, I really don't know who is supposed to be available next season.
I mean, the only person that comes to mind that's available right now that I actually think they should look at is Justin Britt, the former Seahawks center.
Yeah.
Wasn't great. I mean, he struggled.
He's a vet. That's his really only benefit.
Right.
As for Earl Thomas, he's a fucking crazy person.
Yeah, I don't think Earl Thomas makes sense for this team.
Definitely not. You don't need a firecracker like that in the locker room.
Yeah. And I don't think Earl Thomas would want to come here. You know, like, I think he'll be looking to go to a team that can contend.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I just don't think Earl Thomas makes sense for the Giants.
Yep. If you combine the Jets and the Giants rosters, could they win 5 games?
If you combine the Jets healthy or just the way it is right now?
That's a good question.
Let's say
just healthy. The way it is. Yeah. Let's do healthy. Okay.
Healthy. Oh, yeah. I think so.
Five wins?
Yeah. I mean,
whose schedule?
Let's say they have the Giants schedule. I mean, we'll just look at it. Let's say, okay, offensive line, right? You take from the Jets, you take Becton, automatically plug him in. You got two tackles. Then you got Le'Veon Bell and Saquon Barkley. You got Denzel Mims along with Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton and Golden Tate. You take Chris Herndon and you plug him in at your tight end. Defensively, you would have a plethora of interior defensive linemen with the Giants have. And then you had Quinnen Williams, who has shown some light so far in his NFL career. Your secondary will still be inexperienced. Your linebacking core will be better, obviously, because they have Avery Williamson. Pass rushers, you'll have John Jenkins, who you can add. So, yeah, I think it's a 5-1 team.
Okay. I think it really depends on whose schedule. This is from Bernardo. Am I a bad person for wanting us to tank for Trevor Lawrence?
No.
No.
What?
Easy.
They
easy
might not answer. Even. They don't even need to tank.
No, they could just keep going the way they're going.
Yeah.
If the Giants go 0-7, do you think Gettleman gets fired from Bill?
I already told you guys what I think the Giants should do with Gettleman. Bye week.
And
have a nice day.
Should be tomorrow. Who cares? But yeah, I get it. Yeah. Bye week.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Patrick Graham's defense so far?
Some things I like, some things I don't like. The defense is playing hard, but they just lack talent, man. It's so tough to judge these coaches.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, it's so hard, man. Like, who is their best defensive player? James Bradbury and Dexter Lawrence. Other than those two guys, I mean, give me a full-time starter.
Yep.
Who's a full-time starter? Dalvin Tomlinson.
This is a good question. This is from Shane. What does Danny Dimes have to do to prove that he's the franchise starter, but also get Gettleman fired? So in essence, how many wins do the Giants need to get to where Dave Gettleman still gets fired, but they move forward with Dan Jones? In my head, looking at the schedule that we just looked at, I think the answer is 4.
I would say 4 games is where you're like, but the thing is, if they don't have the number one pick, taking a quarterback is off the table.
Agreed.
In my opinion. You know, so that right there is that. Now, anything under 5 wins, I believe Gettleman is gone.
I agree.
Given what we've seen with the season so far.
Yeah.
So,
all right, so let's talk about this. There are a bunch of other questions, but we can end on this. If the Giants wind up with Trevor Lawrence,
mm-hmm.
do they trade Dan Jones? More.
Yeah.
Who takes him? And for what?
Hey.
You can't tell me that if this team goes winless, that there's going to be a team willing to give you anything substantial for Dan Jones. Listen, because if they go winless, it's because he played like shit.
Right. Or what happens if he gets hurt?
All right. We're under the assumption
killed already.
We're under the assumption that he's
killed already every game.
Well, listen, if he gets hurt, then no one's going to trade for him. Then no one's going to trade for him. No one's going to give up any draft capital for a turnover-prone quarterback who is on his way to a one-win season who's also coming off an injury. So assume he's healthy.
Josh Rosen got the Cardinals a second-round pick.
Okay, fair enough.
So, but again, I know this Trevor Lawrence thing is not going to stop. I know it's just going to get
nor
louder.
Nor it shouldn't stop.
No, I know it shouldn't. I'm saying it's just going to get louder. As every loss piles up, and especially if the Jets win tomorrow and the Giants then lose on Sunday, which is, I think, the likely outcome of this weekend, it's just going to get louder and louder and louder. And I know that we're just going to keep talking about this over and over and over again. look, I'm on record. They have the number one pick. They're taking Trevor Lawrence, and they'll figure out what to do with Daniel Jones after that. With that said, I don't think that they're going to have the number one overall pick.
I think they do.
I don't think so. If they didn't have the number one overall pick, oh, never mind. I'm not going to say that.
Say it.
I'm not going to say it.
Say it.
No, because I don't. Because, okay, if they didn't have the number one overall pick in 2017, where Ben McAdoo lost the locker room, they benched Eli Manning, Ben McAdoo was fired, it was a complete and utter shit show, and they still didn't get the number one overall pick. Thanks. The reason why I took that back is because Cleveland went 0-16.
Yeah.
That year. So, and the Giants won 3 games.
Wow. All right. Should we wrap up with that?
We can wrap up with that, yeah. I know this Trevor Lawrence thing is just going to keep going and going and going.
Yep.
This thing is, this is out of, I mean, I already see it on my timeline with people talking about it and sending me pictures of Trevor Lawrence photoshopped in a Giants uniform. I mean, man. Wow. Okay.
Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah.
Follow me at EthanGSN, Weiss, NYG Daily, the blog at Gotham SN. Subscribe. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, maybe Amazon, who knows? We'll talk to you guys next week.
Peace.